Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. My name is John Davis, and I have my wife with me, Nadine. How you doing, baby girl?
I'm good.
All right. Well, tonight, brothers and sisters, we're going to continue with our brother Zach, part two. Well, it's the end of part one, and we're going to part two, and it's called Preparing, Being Prepared for Christ's Return. Okay? It's a powerful message, and really talks about some things. This is not brand new that he did this video, so the old video, but it does relate to the things that's going on today. And so, and it helps us also, like the words, like you said, preparing for the Christ return. Not the, but Christ return. Okay, so if you listen to it, I think you're going to be able to enjoy what he's saying, and I think it would be beneficial to your life, and that the words that we read about can actually become life, and that's what we're supposed to do. Let the word become life, not just wisdom and knowledge about the word, but life. So before we get started, I'm asking my wife to pray us in, if you would, Mrs. Davis.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you. We give you glory and we magnify your name. Thanking you, Father God, for allowing us yet another day, Lord God, to give you praise, honor, and glory, and to learn how to walk out this faith that we have in you. We thank you, Father God, that we're not walking in fear. We're confident of your sovereignty. You know well how to take care of your children. But, Father God, we have to admit that we need to bow ourselves before you and humble ourselves. Because, Father God, we have not done what you asked us to do. So we ask in Jesus' name, Lord God, as we listen to these teachings tonight, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to give us revelation so that we can understand what the Spirit is saying to your people today. Father God, we're not talking about our pet peeves. We're not talking about our personal preferences. They don't do anybody any good. But Father God, may we stick to your word of truth. That's our only hope, is in your word. So sanctify our people for yourself, Father God. Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That's what sets us apart from the world, because we follow and obey your word. So thank you for this privilege you give us of serving you tonight. Have your way over these airwaves and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, baby. Amen. 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 All right, brothers and sisters, remember this is a Christian broadcast. So I want y'all to know that. And those who are listening by the internet, please consider calling in. Because my wife and I, as she says on the broadcast, and I'll tell you about that in a second, we're not the answer, people. Nor are we the whole body of Christ. We're part of the body. So call in at the number 657-383-1624 to participate and share with us what the Lord is telling you. Don't be shy, because nobody got all the answers. And that's why God has poured his word and his spirit into us, not just one person, but us. And we are his children. That's full. But many of us are shy, and the word of God says to us, those who be ashamed of me down here, I'll be ashamed of you up there. So it's time to speak out, and we'll get into why in a couple of minutes. But again, this is, like I said, a live broadcast, and so if you're going to participate, if you call in, I'll unmute the phone. But then if you have something to say, unmute yourself, and then you can speak. But if you don't have anything to say, just want to listen until you do have something to say, keep yourself muted, okay? But please call in. Also, we do want you to know that we are a 501c3 ministry. It's a nonprofit ministry, okay? And we don't receive any salary. We try to be like Christ in every way. And every offering or donation that we do get, it goes directly to the needy and to continue to the maintenance of the broadcast. In other words, like the Facebook page and the maintenance of the, you know, keeping the administrative part going. So, but we receive nothing whatsoever for the ministry. That's for our personal use. And the one and only goal that we have in the mission of this ministry is to make disciples for Christ. That's it. Baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we don't forget that all scripture is used to for us to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of Christ. So we need to only read one verse But Lord says, don't eat by one piece of bread alone, but by every word. So not one scripture alone, but by every word that came out of the mouth of God. So before we get started here, I want to give you guys a little information that as I was talking to the Lord this morning, and he gave me, and I'm going to try to remember my wife said, stay away from the politic part.
Amen.
Okay? You know, and because there's some things that we don't want the church divided. And a lot of times we get divided by the affairs of this world, the things that's going on around us. And so this week, for example, we heard some things. I'm not sure if you're the pastor or whoever it was, but a gentleman that went to the Capitol was praying, whatever you call it, praying. And the prayer that he did, I don't know who it was to or what it was about, but I do know that it wasn't the prayer that I've ever heard, you know, or anything related to recognizing who God is or who the Lord Jesus is. So we have people who are very upset about that. And remember something, whatever happens, the Bible actually says God is in charge, okay? Whatever happens down here, God is in charge, and nothing happens unless he allows it to happen. And a lot of us don't realize that God is in charge. So please remember that as we, begin to listen and walk this walk out, because we're his children. We're to be like Christ. Okay, another thing happened, which is yesterday, was a riot. And we've seen people coming against the establishment that God has put in place. And when that happens, they call themselves Christian and say, well, what, the people just came to protest. But you see in the Bible, what was protest of that? Okay, you see in the Bible when it said we just came to protest, there's nowhere where God's people did that. They cried out to God. So when you see people doing that, remember who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And yesterday's protest came to kill, steal, and destroy. And so what they called themselves doing, and some of them said they were Christians, they said they were casting out demons. And the demons they're referring to were the people who were selected and put in place by the Lord. So when we see that, we, as people of God who call ourselves his children, we need to be like Christ. We need to pray for those people, because those people who did those things, there is a consequence. There's consequences. And they can call it all they want, they support the man, but the Lord told us don't put our trust in the arm of man or the flesh of man. And that wisdom, even that they were using, that type of knowledge that they were using, didn't come. There was a lie. My wife likes to say a lot of times, this is the time of deceit. This is the season of deceit.
And the Lord said.
The Lord, thank you very much. Well, that's the season we're in. That's the season we're in. And he actually said, even if possible, even those who and walking with the Lord a long time would be deceived. It's happening. And that's why I say what I'm going to read to you right now, I'm going to try to read it slow so you can understand it, so I can read it correctly so you can get the point what I was trying to make. But this is not a joke, y'all. This is not a joke. So I want y'all to know this. This is a commandment for us from the Lord Jesus, his disciples. He says, stay strong and be encouraged. Do not be afraid or discouraged, because he, the Lord God, is with us wherever we go. This is the first broadcast, so I wish everybody a happy new year. But those prayers I just mentioned that we heard in the attack on the United States Capitol was prophesied in the Bible, that man would come against God's establishment. That's what's going on. People are coming against God's establishment. Pride, before the fall, is pride. And pride is going on. And when pride, one person I can tell you about in the Bible, and that's why I say this is prophesied, there was a person in the Bible who had so much pride, he was the smartest man in the world. And his name was Solomon. God appointed that man. And he got so wise that he actually started had these different guards, guards that he would worship all over the place, and he called himself pleasing the people, the wise and the people who try to keep peace. But the thing is, what he did was come against the word of God. And so you find the same thing going on today. There's nothing new. Call yourself pleasing people, and that's what you see people trying to please the flesh, that man. And so what happened? They came against the establishment of God. Okay? Those people, or so-called people of faith, demonstrated that God had nothing to do with their actions. The devil, like I said before, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But remember this. This is Daniel 2:21. God controls the course of this world's events. He, and he alone, removes leaders, kings, and presidents. And he sets others up in their places. God gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. So whatever we think, where it's coming from, hey, just get on God if you don't like it. Worldly faith and versus spiritual faith, they are different. Let me say it again to you. The worldly faith is the things you look at and you see, well, I see that. I see this, so I got faith in that. But spiritual faith is the things you don't see. See, and that's what, you know, what we're supposed to be walking at. We don't see God, but we see him in everything it is, and that's the faith we have in Christ. Not in the things that he created, but the creator himself. God's word is very plain. It doesn't need some clever type of speech or a perverse words, you know, those tricky stuff. Only the power of the Holy Spirit. We who believe in Jesus don't put our trust in the flesh of man or this world's wisdom, but only in the power of God's Holy Spirit, which he has given us. The wisdom that we speak of is the mystery of God. It's plain that this word was hidden. It was hidden. And the reason it was hidden, because it wasn't time for it to come out yet. But now it's time. Even though it was made for us, for a long time ago, it was hidden from this world, from the beginning of the time. But the rulers of this world, past world, in the present world, don't understand who God is. And to prove that, if they believed in him in the past, they wouldn't have crucified Christ. And if the preachers believed in it today, you wouldn't have all this false gospel going around. You know? Because we hear about it each and every day. And that's what you've seen and heard when that young man was calling himself preaching at the Capitol building. You see, he preached that early that week. And what happened the same week? Whoa, did the demons come up out of there, man? It was rough, you know? God's scriptures are performed in our sight. They've been fulfilled in our sight. They've been performed and fulfilled in our sight. Right now, we're seeing the word of God come alive. We're seeing it. They're the signs of our Savior's returning. And that's what we listen to today. The things that we're seeing are signs that are prophesied. There's nothing going on out there that wasn't written in the Bible. So when you say who's a prophet, the signs that you see, that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, say, you can tell about when the sky is red what's going to happen, you know, about the rain and stuff, but you don't know the signs of the time. When so-called Christians and worldly people took over the capital, this is my wife, I got to watch myself because I don't go into the politics. They said that they were casting out demons, those elected officials. But they came in strong. Like there's a scripture my wife was talking about a second ago. They came in that these are people, overwhelmed, strong men, fully armed, guards. They did that. They took over until even stronger guards attacked them and took it and overpowered them and took back the building and its belongings. God's Holy Spirit has revealed and interpreted to his holy chosen people the signs of the time. God revealed these signs and wonders to us through his holy people who is living in us. God's Holy Spirit searches everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. We receive God's spirit, not the world's spirit. When we share the word of God, we're not using words that come from human wisdom. We only use the words given to us by God's Holy Spirit to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual cannot receive God's truth. It sounds like foolishness to them. They can't understand it. Only those who are spiritual can understand what God's Holy Spirit is saying. We who are spiritual can evaluate all things that are going on in this world today. We're talking about in this world today. However, we ourselves cannot be evaluated by those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. Tonight, y'all, we're going to talk about preparing, getting prepared for Christ's return. Listen, Dave, before I turn on the video, would you like to say anything?
No.
Okay. Well, brothers and sisters, we're going to start listening to Zach right now. We were almost at the end. We'll finish this one up and go into the next one for we're going to open the mic up in a second. I don't see anybody on the line yet, but for those who call in, we'll give you a chance to share what the Holy Spirit is saying. But for those, if you don't call in, we'll go ahead and let this play out, and we'll have a little conversation when we listen to Zach.
Yeah. Let me just say this. I thought that I wanted to encourage those of you that are listening to guard your heart. You're going to have to guard your hearts because right now the atmosphere is rife for trouble. There's a lot of spiritual warfare going on, and I promise you that it's all being orchestrated by the enemy of our souls. He would have nothing but to have us to go into our flesh, and we cannot afford to do that. We cannot afford to do that because we start taking sides.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start taking sides, you've already gone into a spirit of division.
Amen.
And so you've got brothers and sisters. They may not have voted like you voted. And what are you going to say to them when you're on the internet saying all kinds of manner of evil things about one party over another? Well, you've already brought in division, and you did it. You did it because you were more considerate about your flesh than you were about God's command that we love one another. And so I'm just asking everyone to be prayerful. Just humble yourself before God and realize this is not our world, okay? This is not our kingdom. This kingdom belongs to the enemy, Satan. Our kingdom is God's kingdom.
Amen.
And it's not a part of what we see going on down here. But God has us here on assignment.
Mm-hmm.
He designated us to 2021 to represent him, not ourselves.
Amen.
That's not what we're supposed to be doing. So let's not get off course with this. Let's pray for our government, because right now the powers of darkness are in control.
Yes.
And they would rather control a nation.
Yes.
Because they can then begin to maneuver their will against the people of God. Mm-hmm. This is what it's all about. It's about a war between our God and Satan.
Yep.
Between God's children and Satan's children. He said that in Genesis, and nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So be wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove.
Hallelujah.
Guard your heart and stop listening to all these, they did this and they said that. Don't let any of that influence you. Because I'm telling you, at the end of the day, they're no different than you are. Except for the grace of God, there we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The 25-year-old son will say, "Dad, how was business? Have you got something? Have you made some expansion in our business?" God's children are also like that. The little children were always saying, Lord, what is there for me now? What are you going to do for me next? Is there something for me, some chocolate, some toy? And then there are those who are sons. You say, Lord, how's your work going? I want to know more about your work in the world. I want to know more about your work in India. How is it going? Are the believers getting strengthened? How is it going? How is it burdened? Or even in your own church, how is it going? There are some people, their only prayer to God is a big shopping list. Lord, I want this, 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 this. Amen. Those are servants. One day when we see the Lord face to face, we will wish that we had served God in a better way.
Mm.
You turn with me to 2 Timothy in chapter 2. Here it speaks about how we can be an effective servant, a son, the spirit of a son, how we can serve God. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. And he compares it to two types of vessels in a house. There are vessels of gold, 2 Timothy 2:20. In a large house, there are vessels of gold and silver. And then there are also vessels, you know, packing cases of wood and earthen pots. Supposing you have a house where there are big packing cases made of wood and earthen pots, and then in a cupboard you have behind the glass, you have gold and silver vessels. If you find your house on fire, which vessels are you going to grab first? You're not going to catch those packing cases and earthen pots. You'll go for the gold and silver vessels. Those are the valuable ones. It says there that in God's house also, there are different types of vessels. It's not how big they are. A packing case is much bigger than a golden vessel. But a golden vessel has got a lot more value. And it says here, there are these big vessels of wood and earthenware and small vessels of gold and silver. If a man, verse 21, if a man cleanses himself, it's the same phrase. He who has this hope of Christ coming will purify himself. Or 2 Corinthians 7, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. The same thing here. If a man cleanses himself, he will become a useful vessel, sanctified, useful to the master, and prepared for every good work. That means you will no longer be just like a packing case. Packing cases are also useful, but the golden vessel has got a lot more value. And if you want to be a valuable vessel to God, he says you've got to cleanse yourself. And therefore, he says, flee youthful lust, etc. So what I wanted to show you in all these verses is that there is a cleansing that God gives through the blood of Jesus Christ from our past life, but there is a cleansing we have to do ourselves. In all these verses I showed you, based on our understanding of how much Jesus loved us and what he suffered to free us from sin. And the more we understand that, the more we will really want to cleanse ourselves, purify ourselves, get rid of all the filthiness, the flesh and spirit, and we will be useful, as it says here, for every good work that our Heavenly Father has for us. I hope this will challenge all of you to seek the Lord more and say, Lord, help me to know more of your great love for me, because then I will spontaneously love you in return. We love him because he first loved us. There are two ways in which our love for Christ increases. One, the more you understand his love, spontaneously, you don't have to make an effort. Spontaneously, I'll tell you honestly, I'm telling you the truth before God, I do not have to make an effort to love Jesus Christ. Not at all. Because I meditate on his love every day. From the time I get up, I want to meditate on God's love in the midst of all my other work. And the more I understand that, the more love comes automatically. I don't have to struggle to love him. So when it says that in the last days, the love of many will become cold, it's becoming cold because they don't meditate on his love, number one. The second way in which our love can increase, you remember what Jesus said when a woman washed his feet and Simon the Pharisee said, "Oh, this, how is the master allowing this woman to wash his feet?" And Jesus said, "She has been forgiven much, so she loves much. Simon, you've been forgiven very little. That's why you think you've been forgiven little. He who is forgiven much loves much. He who is forgiven little loves little." The meaning is, not there is nobody in the world who's been forgiven little. Do you think you've been forgiven little? Everybody's been forgiven much, but some people are aware that they've been forgiven much. Others are not aware. They think, "Oh, I've been just forgiven a little bit." How do you know that some person feels he's been forgiven a little bit? Because he loves the Lord very little. If you love the Lord very little, you're one of those who think, "Well, I've been forgiven only very little. That's why I love the Lord little." And you see somebody, another person who loves the Lord fervently, that's the person who's probably sinned less than you, but he's aware of how much he's been forgiven. And he loves the Lord much. He who is forgiven much, loves much. And I'll tell you something, dear brothers and sisters, in the final day, it's not how many meetings you went to, but how much you love the Lord that'll matter. Let's pray. Our Father, please apply these truths to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this is part one of getting prepared for Christ's return. I want y'all to know, what Zach just mentioned at the end there is very important about not struggling to love the Lord, but how many have struggled to obey Him. It's, you know, loving Him is hard because we got to decrease, and we struggle about it because then you're talking about, well, you want to love the Lord, but the thing is, we can't serve the Lord, and what serving means loving Him. And then be divided and say, "Well, I still love my ways too." So the Lord says, when you have a person, they're called lukewarm, and He spits us out. So you either love the Lord or you don't. People can say all they want, "Well, I'm pressing." No, the love of the Lord will grow in each one of us. And you can be a baby Christian, but when you're talking about you love the Lord, it's like, let's put it in the ground so you can understand it. Do you just love your folks a little bit, or do you love them? Do you obey them a little bit, or do you obey them? You know, then let's flip it around. If you got children, do you want your children to obey you a little bit, or do you want them to obey you? You know, so we got to put it to a reality part so we can understand it and use it and apply it to become a followers of Christ. Most of us have a condition. Or conditional love. And that conditional love is not what Christ wants. He said, in order to worship Him, we got to do it in spirit and truth. And then He tells us in other scriptures that He wants us to be a living sacrifice. Not quite living, but a living sacrifice. I mean, all of us. All of the whole person, all of you. He wants to use every part of us. So if we're struggling to give up all of us, know that we're still divided. And a house divided cannot stand. If you're divided, talking about serving Christ in this world, you cannot stand. You will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. What you're telling God is, I accept this part, but I don't want the rest of it. And so God wants all of us. Remember something. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Christ. And then remember the cost. He actually says He bought us. He bought us, and then the bought us brought us back to relationship with God. And most of us, we want to sing and shout and dance and put the, like Zach was saying, go into church every week and get you into heaven. It's a good traditional thing to do, and most of us do that. But going to Bible study, knowing the verses, you know, quoting scripture, none of that gets you in. Got to surrender. We got to surrender all. What He actually tells us in the scriptures, what the cost. You know, this is the race we're in. What is the race? For your soul. For my soul. That's the race we're in. So before you get in, and He tells you actually to stop and wait this thing out. Because just the walk that we have is the eternal walk. It doesn't end when we die here. That's the beginning of life. Because the Lord says we're going to live with him forever. But in this life, there's a certain period of time. It actually says a man in this world shall not live no more than 70. Well, it was 120 years, something of that nature. But we will not live the long years of like the 900 and 800 and years like that, because God said he ain't having that no more. So we know that the time is in. It will end. But the thing is, when this life ends, when you die here in this earth, you're going to have an eternal life. Now, whether eternal is in heaven or in the lake of fire is a different thing. It's their choice. But you make the choice here on earth. This is the time you make the choice whether you'll be eternal damnation in a fire, lake of fire tormented, and you say what worms and stuff eating you and determining all the days, all night, for the rest of your life, or half a day of life. That means back in the day, what that means in turn, but you can be for tormented for eternity. We can't even know what eternity is. But in heaven, you will be with Christ. And what he is love and light. You'll be in a place where he says, in his father's house. I heard a scripture today say, when people were talking about mansions, they're talking about the mansions of this world. We can't understand what that spirit's talking about, between mansions there. We don't know what God's mansion is like. Talking about in his father's house, there's many mansions. A house that has mansions in it. There are many mansions in my father's house. So we can't understand that type of spiritual thing, because Christ even said, as he said, that we don't understand, you know, what these things are, because our mind cannot understand that spiritual thing yet. But remember this. Just trust in what he says. We'll be with him forever, but you got to surrender now. You ain't going to die and then surrender. That ain't happening, Captain. You can forget that. He says when you die, and every thought you have in your heart and mind and heart and all this, you're going to take me before him. The only thing you want to go through is that judgment thing if you receive the blood of Christ now, so our sins will be forgiven. But for your sins who ain't forgiven, judgment will come. That's what he says. It ain't me saying it. I ain't putting no fingers on nobody. But I'm telling you what the word says. What the word says, the only way you won't go up under the judgment is that Jesus Christ said, that's mine. The blood is on you. Covered by the blood. Covered by the blood. Because if you're not covered by the blood, and people have tried that. Obviously, they tried. Because the Bible said a man came before God and said, well, at the end days, he actually said, well, this dude ain't got no robe on. How'd he get in here? So somebody obviously had got in. Said, throw him out. But the rest were weeping and crying. You don't want to be that way. This is the time right now getting prepared for Christ. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to share the gospel, the word of God, that you make your choice. It's heaven, because this earth right here is going to pass away, and everything in it. And guess what? Can't take nothing with you. Not you, not your family, not your possession, nothing. Nothing can you take with you. The only thing that's a link out here is love. Because he said nothing can separate us from the God's love. So that love that you have, that Holy Spirit that you have, connects to his Holy Spirit. So that love, when you confess and, you know, and surrender, you got a link. You're connected to the vine. That vine. God is tree, Jesus is the vine, and we're connected to the vine. And then we'll bear fruit down here. And the fruit we'll bear is telling the word, the good news to others, and others without Christ. And that's the fruit. And they want to know, you know, get on that vine. And this is the chance and opportunity we got right now. To shine for Christ. Now, before I go further, Master West, would you like to share anything?
Well, no, nothing too much different from what I said before about us guarding our hearts. It is so critical that happens. A lot of people got a lot of words. They got a lot of rhetoric. The television is rife with, what do they call those things? Not cue cards, but sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
Sound bites that can catapult us in, out of the realm of the spirit and into the realm of the flesh. And we have to fight hard not to go there. We have to fight hard not to go there. God can't use us when we're operating in our flesh.
Amen.
We have to be faithful, and we have to be loyal to him, not to this world. This world systems and everything that's set up is set up for destruction, because that's what's coming next.
Amen.
But in the meantime, we've been set here, put here by God as his ambassadors from another kingdom to represent his kingdom. So don't be fooled. Jesus said the end times will be marked by deception. Don't be deceived. Keep your focus on your king, your master, your Lord, who called you to this generation to be the salt and to be the light, to be the one that proclaims the gospel to them, the truth that can only help them.
Amen.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Ray. And that's so true. Remember, people, if you put your trust in man, man can't get you to heaven. Only Jesus can. Okay? So we're going to start part two getting prepared for Christ. And we're not going to stop the test until we finish up the lesson, because we're not on those time zones. Our mission is to serve the Lord. Our mission is to make disciples. And our goal is to continue sharing and spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So, Mr. Davis, can you start it off? Here we go. Praise the Lord.
I'd like to turn to a passage in 2 Corinthians 5. I'm thinking of how it will be when Christ comes back to this earth and we see him face to face. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one will be rewarded for his deeds done in his body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So the first thing that's going to happen when Christ comes again, and we are caught up to meet with him in the air, and we welcome him to this earth, he's going to set up his judgment seat. There are a few things that the Lord has told us that will happen when he comes again. And when he sets up his judgment seat, he's going to, there's going to be plenty of time to do it. Everything that we have done, every believer is going to stand there. Every believer from the beginning of time. And one by one, each one, it says each one, which means one by one, will be recompense, means rewarded or punished. That's the meaning of recompense. For his deeds which he did in his body, according to what he did, whether good or bad. This is a very real truth. And therefore it says in verse 11, knowing this and the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. And since this is going to be true, verse 9, we have only one ambition, and that is to please him. Because if that is our ambition, then when Christ comes back, I'll be ready to meet him. I will have nothing to fear. It's like a student who has prepared very well for the final examination, and he sits down to write the examination, and he's not afraid, there's no nervousness, and he looks at the question paper, and he knows the answer to every single question. And he gets 100% because he's prepared for it. And there could be other students sitting in the examination hall who get all nervous when they see the question paper and say, boy, I never studied that. I never studied the other one. I didn't even know this subject would be coming. Like we tell children, study for the subjects that will come in your final examination. We also need to make sure, I mean, I'm not saying that children should not play games. By all means, play games. Have a little bit of relaxation, you need to sleep. But with all that, concentrate on studying for the subjects that are coming for the final examination. What is the Lord going to test in the final examination. Judgment seat of Christ is like a final examination. Every one of us has to sit for that test. What is the Lord going to test? It's good for us to know now. I don't want to get a surprise at the judgment seat and discover that I didn't prepare for the subjects that were important. Let me show you a couple of things that are going to be important in the final examination. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. Now, I'm telling you the subjects that will come in the final examination so that we can prepare for it now. Here it says about don't pass judgment on others before the time. You know how all of us have got a great desire to pass judgment on others. We very rarely judge ourselves, but to pass judgment on why that person did that, or why did he do that, or why did she go there or behave like this, we are very quick at that. And for all those who have a great desire to judge others, what the Holy Spirit is saying, just wait. He's not saying don't judge. Wait. At the right time, judge. In other words, don't judge before you know all the facts. Isn't that a good rule? It says about Jesus in Isaiah 11:3, he would never judge by what his ears heard or by what his eyes saw. He would never judge by what his eyes saw or his ears heard. That's a very good rule to follow, because a lot of things that our eyes see are not true. One of the biggest proofs of that is the sun. The sun that rises in the east and sets in the west. Our eyes seem to tell us that the sun is moving. In fact, for 5,300 years of human history, all human beings, all the cleverest people, believed the sun was moving. For 5,000 years, people much cleverer than you and me believed the sun was moving because they believed what their eyes saw. Till a man called Copernicus in Europe decided to check up, is it really true or not? And he discovered the sun doesn't move in the solar system. It's the earth that's rotating on its axis, and it looks as if the sun is moving. Lesson from that, don't believe what your eyes see. And I believe that God has allowed the sun to rise and set every day to teach us, don't believe what your eyes see. It's one of the lessons God's trying to teach you by the movement of the sun. It doesn't move. So we can be so sure, I saw him do that. I'm sure he did it. You know, don't be so sure. Don't judge. You may not know all the facts. So it's a very good lesson for us to stop judging by what our eyes see. Don't judge by what your ears hear also. Do you know there are sounds which our ears cannot hear? I don't know whether you know that. Even if you've got the sharpest hearing. There's a thing called a dog whistle. The dog whistle has got such a high frequency that if somebody blows it, you hear nothing because it is beyond the frequency of your ear. Your ear has got a certain frequency range. Only sounds within that frequency range can be heard. If it's beyond that, you can't hear it. But that dog hears it very clearly, because the dog's ear's frequency range is more than yours and mine. It hears that whistle. So it's called a dog whistle. And if somebody blew a dog whistle and you say, no, there was no sound, don't believe what your ears hear. Your ears can't hear that, that's all. As I keep these two examples before me and say, Lord, I think I'm a very clever human being. That dog knows more than me about whether there was a sound or not. It humbles me to know that there are things, I mean, a dog can pick up a smell much better than I can trace a criminal, these police dogs. It can just go near a suitcase and find out if there are drugs inside it. I can't. It's amazing. So, when I realize these things, I obey the scripture which says, don't judge by what your eyes see or your ears hear. I'm not saying you shouldn't judge. investigate more fully, find out the full truth. Otherwise, we will pass judgment on people and afterwards say, oh, it wasn't true. I unnecessarily judged that person. Have you had experiences like that? I have had, and I regret it so much that it has taught me not to judge by what my eyes see or my ears hear until I have investigated it fully. I'm not saying we should be dumb and just ignore everything. All I'm saying is investigate it fully. Judge, but judge, don't judge before the time. So that's what it's saying here. Don't, 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5, don't go on passing judgment before the time. And what is the time? That is when the Lord comes. We are talking about the coming of the Lord. We're still on that subject. The Lord is coming. That is the time when you will see clearly and you'll be able to judge. That brother whom you thought, he's not a serious Christian, or he was not very gifted, he was sitting in the back of the hall, but he probably did such a lot for the Lord, which you knew nothing about, in secret. Maybe he gave so much of his money for God's work, which you never knew about. And you get a shock. You mean that chap gave away so much of his money for God's work? And I didn't think much of him on the earth, and he was doing so much in secret for the poor people and serving people in so many ways. I never knew about it. That day you will know. So many things. That is why Jesus said, in that day, many who are last will be standing up first at the judgment seat of Christ. And many who are sitting up in front, who you preach so well and do so many things, and you think they are going to be the greatest people in God's kingdom, they'll be at the end of the queue. Because it will be shown that God was not so happy with their life, they just impressed you. So, he said that. He didn't say everybody who's last will come first and everybody who's first will come last. That's not what he said. There are people like Paul and Peter and all who were first will be first in the final day too. And there are others who are lazy and last in the church today. They'll be last in the final day too. But many, not any, not all, but many who are first will be last and many who are last will be first. It's true. Because we don't see clearly what people are doing in secret. So that's what he's saying. Don't judge till the time comes. Because when the Lord comes, there are two things he's going to expose. Here's what I said. The subjects that are going to be important in the final day. Here are two subjects that are going to be very important in the final examination. Get ready for it. Number one subject, the things hidden in darkness. What are the things hidden in darkness? First of all, our thoughts. And then all the things we do, which other people can't see. So when the Lord comes, he's not going to primarily reveal the things that were done in public, like, you know, the things you've done in the church, and the things you did in the presence of other believers. That is not going to be so much evident because everybody has seen it. But the things hidden in darkness, that means darkness as far as other people are concerned, in the church are concerned. For example, all the people in your church and my church know only about 10% of your life or less than that. Because most of your life you're in their home or in the office or driving on the road. Nobody knows whether you got angry in the car with some other driver because you were alone in the car. Nobody knows what you yelled at somebody, or there's a thing called road rage. There's a lot of it in the world today. But nobody sees it. It's all dark in the darkness. Nobody sees how you behave in the office, whether there are any things you sign and take money for, which unrighteous, false statements, whether you claim money from people, from the company which you don't deserve to claim. Who knows? You look like a very holy person in the church. You sing well. Maybe you preach well too, but there's a lot of sin in private, in darkness. Things which other people can't see. Things which others in the church don't see. And certain things which even your wife and children don't see. What you do in the office. Maybe things which appear right in the eyes of men, but not right in the eyes of God. Those are some of the things hidden in darkness. And the other area of darkness is our thought life. And our thought life, even your wife cannot know. Even if you're married for 50 or 75 years, your wife does not know what's going on in your thoughts. You can be a thoroughly impure man in your thoughts and externally look like a very faithful husband. But it'll come out in the final day. Subjects that are going to be important in the final examination. Number one, the things hidden in darkness. God's word. Things in your private life. Things in your thought life. The thoughts, for example, I believe that you can live with your wife for 50, 60 years and she cannot know whether you love money. Because it's so easy to pretend that you don't love money. Just be generous now and then and let everybody know about your generosity. People say, oh, he doesn't love money. He gave so much money here. But that's not the test. What we love, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, in other words, what your mind is mostly thinking about, that is your real treasure. If your mind frequently thinks about the things of God, that is your treasure. I don't mean you neglect your earthly work or your family responsibilities. You do all that. I'm talking about times when your mind is free. Our mind is not occupied 24 hours. No. Nobody's mind is occupied 24 hours. We sleep 6 or 7 hours, and the rest of the time, we are not always thinking of work. We have to do our work. Students have to think of their studies. All that is okay. But when our mind is free from our studies and free from our work and free from your housework, mothers, when the mind is free, where does it go to? That is the test of where our treasure is. And there in my free time, if I'm always thinking of how can I be richer, how can I make more money, that's where your treasure is. Somebody else may be thinking, well, what can I do for the Lord now? That's where his treasure is. But who knows that? Not even your wife. I've used an illustration sometimes to help this. The Bible says in Colossians 3, set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things on the earth. You know that verse, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Set your mind on the things that are above, where Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and not on the things of the earth. And the way I illustrate it, you know, we have to think about many things on the earth. We have to concentrate on our work. When you drive the car, you have to concentrate on the car. You have to make sure your car is working. A wife has to concentrate on cooking food and looking after the children. So the illustration I've used is of a rubber band. See, for example, if this is a picture of, this top part is a picture of heaven, and this bottom of this pulpit is a picture of earth. If I tie a rubber band to this mic here, that is my mind set on the things above, and I have to stretch it to the things of earth for 8 hours for my work, stretched, and for 1 or 2 hours of driving on the road, it is stretched to earthly things, or your wives and mothers have to stretch it to look after her children and looking after cooking and everything. It may be 10 or 12 hours. Mind is stretched to so many things on this earth. Absolutely right. We have to be faithful in that. Now my question is, when you're finished all your work, when this work is all done and the rubber band is released, it goes back up here to the things above. But with most Christians, it is not like that. The rubber band is tied down here at the bottom, and then it's stretched up church service time for 1 or 2 hours, and maybe 15 minutes of reading the Bible a day. And then when that exercise is over, 2 hours on a Friday or Sunday, it's released back to the things of earth now. How to make more money, and what pleasure can I get from somewhere? This is the difference. It doesn't mean that a man who set his mind on things above doesn't care for things of earth. He does his work or not much more faithfully than the other person whose mind is set on the things of earth, because God helps him. So setting your mind on things above, the way to test it is when you're released from, during the day, from all earthly responsibilities, even if it's only for 15 minutes a day, because you were so busy that day, where does your mind go to? There you know, if you want to know about yourself, where your treasure really is. I'm telling you, a subject is going to be important in your final examination. So, that, those are the things hidden in darkness. Nobody knows. You don't know about me. Even if you've heard me preach for years, you can think there's a very godly man and he's always thinking about heaven and all that. It may not be true. You don't know my thoughts. You don't know what I'm thinking about when I'm alone, by myself. I don't know about you either. But one day I will know everything about you. And I'll tell you something. One day you'll know everything about me as well. Because it'll all be exposed. And the other thing, here's another subject that's going to be important in the final day. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. First of all, the things hidden in darkness, I explained that. And second, the motives of men's hearts. In other words, not what you did, but why you did it. In the final day, what you did will be important, but why you did it will be much more important.
Brothers and sisters, we're going to stop that there. We're going to hear about the second reason. The second option, reason that we go before the Lord, the things that he's going to be looking at. Remember, the blood of Christ cleanses us of all our sins. But as he was mentioning then, these are things that all our inner thoughts and stuff, everything, is coming before the Lord. And if we don't take the time now to realize, and search ourselves, then we're going to be shut out when we go before the Lord and say, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that? And he say to us, depart from me, I know ye not. Brothers, sisters, this is we got a couple of minutes left. And before I pray out, Mr. Davis would like to say anything. But brothers, sisters, I want y'all to remember something. We are preparing for Christ's return. Every second that we have, we don't know when he's coming back. We don't know the things of this world is happening. We know they're happening, but we don't know exactly each time and this and that. But we do know the Holy Spirit is with us and he covers us. So we need to begin to search out the Holy Spirit. Let him fill us with his will, with God's will in our lives. And we won't be worried about the circumstances here, but we'll be knowing, regardless of what happens, we know where we're going. We need to share that good news. So, Father, I thank you for this time. I ask you, the Father, heaven, that you have the word stick to us. Dear Father, heaven, be like putting in our mouth and chewing that word and meditate on it and let it become a part of us, Lord. The Father in heaven, that word will fall on fertile ground and not just that wind-blowing thing that goes in and go out like the wind. But Father in heaven, that we would focus on you in everything we do and that we give all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
God bless.